Good evening, everybody. This is Kathy Lawrence standing in for Marita Pickett, and welcome to Stargate Roundtable Thursday night. Here we are again, just over the line into the solstice for the summer, and everybody is ready behind the scenes. We've got Angel Sue, who will start our call and set the tone for us, coming to us from Louisiana, as well as Rainbird from North Carolina, and our Rama and Tara from New Mexico. So we stand at the helm to pass the information back and forth with you this evening. We do not have a guest, but there's more than enough conversation to be had. So we'll begin with you, Angel Sue, and I pass the talking stick.
Thank you, Kathy. And I love the energy in your voice tonight. Thank you for sharing that with us. So to all of the Stargate Roundtable, we welcome you in the light of the most radiant one and in the office of the Christ, and only in the office of the Christ. And we're invoking the loving energies of Saint Germain and the Violet Flame. So with our protocol for the Stargate Roundtable, we work on ourselves and get ourselves into a higher spin. And then we work with all other beings, all other people that we claim in the lives, in our lives, and those that we really don't, but we're working for the greater good of all, and then we top it off with the law of one. So here's we go. Claim yourself as the beloved child of the universe that you are, and call in your support team. Call in your higher self, your beloved twin flame, your guides, your masters, your teachers, your avatars, your councils of light, and all those from the lighted realms that celebrate the path that you are walking here in this lifetime on the planet Earth. And then with this wonderful love that they bring to you, just switch from the head energy down into the heart energy. And just breathe consciously, watching that the in-breath intend that it brings in even more divine love. On the out-breath, brings in the energy and shares it with the world. I should say shares it with the world of gratitude and that divine love. So just intend and breathe in and out at the perfect rate for you. And allow this to be set for the remainder of the evening, for the remainder of the week, for as long as you wish. And now that things are becoming calmer and more heart-centered, take a quick look on the inside from the top of your head down to the bottoms of your feet, your toes, and see what needs to be celebrated, and what needs to be calibrated, what needs to be released, what the greatest harmony can be. And we will use those high-frequency words of praise, respect, thanks, and love, or whatever Ho'oponopono system. Excuse me, I was reaching for a clock so I could see the second hand. And I'll be the timekeeper for you. We're going to bounce those words through our bodies for the next 90 seconds. And so I'm going to mute out now and we can start. Wonderful jobs, everyone. Now, select one of your favorite memories of when you felt absolutely awesome, whether as a child or as an adult. Take another big breath in, and on the exhalation, say the word peace, and then let that memory anchor in deeper than ever before, awakening your body to feeling that good energy again. Peace. Feeling wonderful is your natural right, and the body instantly remembers that energy. Peace will grow, and the body will align itself with this higher, happier, healthier frequency. And good work again. So we're going to just think about the people that we claim in our lives, our family, our friends, anybody that we're aware of with health issues and challenges, or not even health, but mental and emotional, financial, whatever issue there is that we're aware of, whatever we've heard on the internet or the media, we'll also pull in the energies of Nasara, Nasara, the Reformation Act, and our Faction 3 White Knights, and our Galactic Forces of Light. All those beings that we label good, yeah, but we're also going to pull in all those beings that we see in the black hats. For they have an energy, a lesson, a purpose beyond our understanding. And we're going to now, for the next 90 seconds, praise, respect, thank, and love all with neutrality, unconditional neutrality. So we can start that time now. I'll mute out. Very good. Now, we're going to call in the perfect divine solution for all of our concerns, the things that we care about, the things that we're carrying, and we're going to call it for all other beings as well, every person, place, condition, and thing. So, welcome them in. Once again, with that beautiful light of God that never, never fails, and in the office of the Christ, and only in the office of the Christ. And to all those beings, known and unknown, seen and unseen, we're going to use the law of one, the original law of creation. And we say to you, we are all one. And as one is harmed, then all are harmed. As one is helped, all are helped. Therefore, in the name of who we are, and we are one with all there is, we ask that only that which is the highest good of all concerned happen here, and we are ready to live heaven now. For all of us, within, upon, and around this planet, throughout all of creation. And we give thanks that this is done for all beings under the law of one. for their highest good, our highest good, of all those concerned. And so with Rainbird's 13 thank yous and honey in the heart, we celebrate this and say, all men, all women, all children, all beings, all creation, we are all one. And Kathy Lauren, thank you. I pass the talking stick back.
Oh, that was lovely, Angel Sue. Thank you for setting the tone. Sometimes it's hard to kind of snap out of it when you take us into those places. It's, you got to remember, oh, come back. Okay, we're back. And we thank you so much. And before we do go to you, our Carolina Rainbird, let's just take a moment, everyone, as I don't think Angel Sue was privy to the conversation before we came on board on air. Let's just create a little healing circle for a moment, all of us, if you would. While we're in this calm, quiet, centered place, take a deep breath as we join hands and form our unity circle. Because we have one among us who needs to be placed in it. And we know the energies of light and intention that we will give to our beloved Rama as we ask you to step forward into the center of our circle. For what has been happening with our friend here, what has been happening since the solstice is terrific headaches, high blood pressure, just simply uncomfortable in his body. So let's take a deep breath and bring Rama to mind and beam from the center of your very hearts the energies of love and loving intention for healing, for the vibrations, for the calibrations within his physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual and etheric bodies to be soothed and calmed down, for pressures to be released, and for all the pain to simply dissipate. Take a deep breath. And we bring in the healing energies of Mother Mary, and we ask at this time as well for anyone that comes to mind in your lives, whether it's yourselves or one you love or ones that you know about, let's place those beings in our circle. And let's just take 30 seconds, everyone, as we count down for a few moments of deep, quiet appreciation and send loving intentions for healing for all those you've placed there, along with our Rama, beginning now. Good work. Take a deep breath. We thank you, Rama, for your service. We thank you that you're always available. You're always there to stand in, to back things up, to be available 13 years. I don't know if you have even missed one Stargate that I can even think of. There might have actually been one. And even when you couldn't speak, you were there trying to speak. For so many of you that are here every single week, we know you know this to be a fact. So we send you lots of love and tender-hearted energies of healing and light. And we'll keep you in our prayers, those of us who feel led, for I certainly will feel led. We thank you for your service, Rama, and we ask you to feel better soon. With that thought, we will skip over to our Mayan calendar. And we will bring in our North Carolina Rainbird to do the honors. You have the talking stick, dear.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy. I'll take that talking stick. And I'll stay in that place of support for all of us who are feeling these body challenges, energy challenges, and health challenges by staying in my strength and staying and remembering. remembering to breathe and being calm. So we support each other when we take care of ourselves that way. So, and this is a good day. We're in the wave of Kawak, and the wave of Kawak is reminding us of possibility thinking and transformation. And so it's a great wave to be in, as that we started, actually we started this wave on the solstice. So we're doing all that. We're doing that transformation in our bodies. And this is all going on with all of us. And so many blessings to all of us as we go through this particular wave in this process that we're going through. So it's 5 off ball. 5 is the overtone. In the music, you know what that is. So, and it's about command, radiance, and empowering. Those are the resonance it carries. It's also spectral. It's overtone. It's center. So, and it symbolizes the spinning of the pyramid. It's the 5 at the top of the 4 sides of the 4-sided pyramid. So there you go. A 5-tone, an off-ball, is the night. And it's an artist aspect, and it's about our participation and our belief in our abundance and about learning from our dream time. So we have that good nighttime glyph to work with today, and we have the gifts of the protection of the night and recognizing that mystery of life. So let's let go of self-judgment and withdrawal and embrace this opportunity to participate in our own abundance with this good, empowering 5-tone. And then tomorrow is Friday. We have a 6-con, and 6 is that rhythmic tone. The tone is the quality. It's a time to assume responsibility. It's a test of the opposites and represents the active receptivity of balance. So a very active tone with that indeterminate and time-sensitive energy of con, the seed. So as we work with seed, we work with that timing and harmony-seeking and openness to life. It's a healing energy. It's and it's about self-determination. So let's use those energies tomorrow, and then on Saturday we have a portal day, and it's Qichang at 7 with that sacred tone of 7, that good midpoint, that power point. And the serpent energy, that good healing energy. Well, it's a warrior energy, actually. It's a warrior's aspect. And it's about remaining open to change, distinguishing between body and soul or spirit, transmuting energy. Change those old clothes. Let go of those old skins. It's a good time to let go of insecurities with this good aspect. And it's a portal day, so it's going to be powerful. And that 7-tone, I think, is one of the most powerful tones of all of them. So we've got a lot to work with. Let's do some work Saturday with our energy. And then Sunday we have an 8 Kimi, that link between the worlds, link between life and death, birth and life, birth. And past and present, all those linkings of worlds. So let's just link the yugas while we're doing it. And we have that 8 energy on Sunday, and it's a tone of harmony. And what else do we do with that 8 tone? We fine-tune with that 8 tone. It's a galactic. It's about integrity and modeling and harmonizing. So it's a tone that represents the clockwise, counterclockwise spin of the galactic frequency. So very powerful, that 8-tone infinite as well. And we're working with that good energy of Kimi, that linker of worlds. So that's Sunday. It sounds like fun to me. And on Monday, a 9 Monique. Monique is that healing energy of the deer or the healing hand. And the 9 energy of expansion, extended cycles. So it's, let's expand our cycles of healing. And on Tuesday, another portal day, a very powerful one. It's at 10, that day of manifestation with Lamont, the Stargate. Manifesting that Stargate on Tuesday. So lots of good work to be done on Tuesday with those energies. And then on Wednesday, an 11 Maluk, letting go of what no longer serves us, and it's the moon. And it's also Canada Day, so with that energy, there's a lot going on. That, and I'm not sure if it's the full moon or not. Someone will have to tell me when the full moon is. I don't have a full moon calendar this year. So, but whatever, that would be synchronistic to have the moon on the full moon day, so the moon energies. And then on Thursday when we come back, it'll be a 12 Oak, the dog, with all that unconditional love and that sweet tone of 12, that crystal tone of 12, complex stability, the unity of polarity. So that crystal energy on Thursday when we come back, and that's the week in review.
Okay, Rainbird.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a full moon, and it's also on the 1st of July, and that's Canada Day.
Okay, so that's what that was my guess, Wednesday on the Luke, the moon day. And on Canada Day, yay, so what a great time.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you too, Rainbird. We appreciate your insights. So we are on to the next moment where we always bring in Rama and Tara to learn what we can, what has been going on behind the scenes, and to share with you this evening that I think I may have mentioned, we do not have a guest this evening, but we do have lots of conversation in store for you. And so I would like to look up the number, or have you, Rama, Tara, maybe you have the number we can give everyone if you grab a pencil and paper. We would love to have your group participation. This is definitely round table, and we're here to hear from you and learn what it is that you have to share, and any aha moments with the energies and the solstice, whatever it may be, we invite you to join us to call in this evening. And so, Rama, do you have that number handy? That 888 number? We'll get it for you, everybody. That will be coming in a few moments. But in the meantime, we will pass the talking stick to our beloved Rama and Tara. What's going on out there in this world?
Greetings.
Greetings, everyone. Well, we just want to quickly say that we got $300 into that's the first $300. So so then there's another, we got it into BBS, thank God. We didn't get anything in last week. We had to get enough money to get it in. And now there's another $300, so it's about $640 that we still need. And then the rent is, you know, no later than next Tuesday, because we take it in before the 1st. And it's just, you know, that's the last day of the month. But, so we have all those combinations of things, and may we thank everybody that did what they did, and we got enough to pay our last $200 bill for this month, too. Nonetheless, I just wanted to say what I needed to say about that. And the other thing was that there's two buttons on there, and one button you know, say you're going to send a small amount like $5, it'll take 45 cents out as you press that button. And you could also pay $5 where they include the amount of the 45 cents so that you pay for that too. And that really adds up after a while, and especially if you're going to send like $20 or you're going to send more. When you send more, it's a really good idea to, you know, do that, because like $100, they'll take $5 out, you know. And that makes, well, not quite $5, almost $5, but it's just like that. But anyway, if you're going to send $100 and you want to not have any of it taken out, send it to the radio station. That's the best. And then it's still only 40 cents, right? Or 42 cents. How much is a stamp? I don't even know anymore. Anybody? But so that's a big difference like that, just to make that point. All right. They need the what call? What number?
BBS telephone number.
Oh, who wants that? You mean?
I wanted it, and I'm looking for BBS to give it to me so we can share it with everyone for the people who will call us in.
Oh, okay. Well, I can also give it to you.
Well, we'll take it.
All right. Just got to open my. Okay, Rama, I'm going to let you start.
Okay. This has been a very wild week with the energies, and I'll just say that it has been a bit stressful dealing with all the energies of the solstice, the solar flares and stuff, and dealing with bills and reality, and that could also be a cause of my high blood pressure, stressing out about how to rub two rocks together to pay the rent. That's a big deal. And in the last little while, I could just say, aside from all the fake news going on, which is distractions, and there's a story out there that I came across my vision that there's some kind of so-called Russian fleet coming up to the Texas coast that's on whatdoesitmean.com, and that is a fake news website. I'll just say straight out, they have nothing to do with reality.
Okay, just I'm ready. I found the number just so everybody who's having trouble might be able to have it right away. This is a great number. If you're ever having trouble just hearing or anything with the regular, you know, conference call number, it's out of Texas, and it's 716-748-0144. And there's no, you know, pin code or anything. 716-748-0144.
And this is BBS's call-in number?
Yeah, no. It's a number where you can listen to the calls. You know, like, I thought that's what you were asking for. It's BBS's number for listening to, in case you're having any trouble with the regular conference call number. If you want, that's it's 24/7. You can actually listen to anything that's on BBS radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's on there all day.
I think we should
be
giving that each week for people, because I didn't even know about that. So let's go ahead and keep that in the back of our minds. And also,
okay.
Yes,
Kathy, and then maybe you can share that with Marita when she gets there. Okay, and then the other number, the toll-free call-in from United States and Canada, and that will take you to any other available number as needed, so too. That's really great. And that one is 888-429-5471. And then as you'd like one more, there's a direct call-in number, and that's line one, and it's 530-413-9537. 530-413-9537. There you go. Yeah.
Very good. We thank you for that. We want to hear from you callers this evening, and we thank you, Tara. So go ahead. Go forward with your conversation.
In the last week, I'll just say since, you know, the 19th, there's been a story, several stories that have been floating around out there where Dr. Richard Hoagland got on George Noory's AM Coast to Coast last Friday night, and he was there with Joseph Farrell, and they talked about these photos that have come out from Comet HP67, where there is a pyramid on Comet HP67 that is 3 miles high. Uh-oh. There are
There's a what on HP67 that's 3 miles high?
A pyramid.
Oh, okay, because you said there's a comet 3 miles high. I thought
no, it's called Comet HP67 or
and
something.
And there's a pyramid 3 miles high.
Yes, there is also on Michael Salya's website, exopolitics.org, not the NASA Curiosity rover.
Photographed pyramids pyramid on Mars.
And let's say that this pyramid, only the capstone is showing.
Well, they don't say that. They say
no.
It's either a pyramid or it's the capstone of a pyramid that's below the sand. They don't know.
And
what Rama was told it is, it's a pyramid that's humongous, and it's most of it's below the sand.
Yeah, and this should be on mainstream media, front page news all across this planet, instead of talking about
didn't you say
Charleston, South Carolina?
Didn't you say you talked to Greg Palast and he said he was going to put it on BBC TV?
That's right.
Yeah, it's going to go on London's television, and I'm sure they don't want to do nothing like that over here. But Tough Titty said the kitty, if they're going to put it downtown London TV, main time, prime time.
Yeah, also... They, on George Noory's show, Dr. Richard Hoagland talked about these series of photos that have been released of these glass structures that are at least 3 to 5 miles high that were built maybe hundreds of thousands or millions of years ago. Who and what kind of civilization built these glass structures? And Dr. Hoagland even went so far as to say that China's rover that's rolling around the moon, it's called the Jade Rabbit, has taken these photos of a dome structure as well as these glass structures. Our government over here is so vehemently insane, they would go so far to cover this up as...
Well, they have for a long time.
Right, but the way these folks were talking about it, they would go so far as to try to nuke a major U.S. city in the event of this news breaking across the planet. They are that insane.
And they're going to try.
And Mr. Putin has hyperdimensional technology.
Yeah, he's a good friend with Dr. Keshe, too.
Yeah, and that would literally just neutralize any kind of ideas about nukes. Yet we've already been told, and I've been talking about this for at least a year or more, all the nukes are neutralized across the planet. All they're playing with is this very dangerous brinkmanship game.
And that's on other levels, too. For instance, in eastern Ukraine.
Yes.
U.S. soldiers, boots on the ground now, and heavy. Everything you would like to have to start a war, even nuclear-tipped weapons, are on the border right now. NATO, U.S., whatever they're doing together. Plus, they've equipped Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, Poland, and they're doing maneuvers in all these countries now, and there's two more countries I don't have in my brain right now. But the point is that they are, like Rama's saying, they are desperate. The other and Steve Cohen was on Tom Hartman talking about this yesterday, and he said they're not whistling Dixie.
No.
We are in a place just like the Cuba Missile Crisis right now. And I remember they launched a nuke, RC blank A, because the Castro brothers are assets of our CIA, always have been. And our CIA went down there and launched from Cuba a nuke targeted for Los Angeles, and that was in 1962, I think, during the Cuban Missile Crisis at its peak. And Ashtar came in and pulled it way out into space and neutralized it into space, or we would have had at least 3 million people dead.
That's right.
Down Wilshire Boulevard, destroying the banking system. They'll use war technology when they're in trouble with their own banking system. And that was the plan back then, and then they're going to do it again. And that's what they want to do now, because the other front is Greece.
Greece is absolutely saying to the rest of the EU, screw you.
Not that way.
Well, yeah.
No, I transcribed it the way it was.
Yeah.
Who's saying it that way is Christine Lagarde is saying that to Greece's, to Tsipras and Varoufakis, the finance minister.
Right.
And what she's saying, I will give absolutely no grace periods, and it's the harshest of results if they, I mean, not only do they lose everything, but they get more taxed on top of them. They take away so much stuff. And they literally still believe that they are going to push Greece to the very brink and that Greece will buckle. And guess what? Varoufakis and Tsipras will not buckle. And their people are in the streets. What they want, what especially Christine Lagarde, they keep on saying, especially the IMF is doing this, of the Troika. There's the European Commission. There's the European Central Bank, and then there's the IMF. That's the Troika. And it's Christine Lagarde, a 50-foot lizard lady, who will not – she's not a negotiable character, that's putting it politely. And she thinks she can force them to force more austerity on their people. And as a matter of fact, she in particular is not accepting – raising taxes on the wealthy,
right,
or putting some kind of a tax on the humongous big corporations who are not paying taxes, just like our people aren't over here. As a matter of fact, there's another story about that. Walmart, and remember, for the first 6 years of Walmart, Hillary Clinton was the head of the board. Chairman of the board on Walmart. What were they setting this up for? Right now, they have $76 billion in profits, and they've got it hidden in all the oil and gas companies around the world. That's profits that they're supposed to be paying taxes on. This was what Hillary was up to with Walmart, making sure that it feeds the oil and the fossil fuel companies with their profits and keeps it going, and everybody makes more off it. And they're also rolling that kind of stuff over in the marketplace and just pulling that money out of everybody's countries that they owe. And so these are desperate actions of desperate people that were desperate, you know, even since the end of the World War II. Now, there's another naughty person here. Angela Merkel's in the focus. And, I mean, to make it perfectly clear, even though in our media they're saying that Angela Merkel's the most powerful woman on earth, that may be true. Yet, as you determine power by Iron Lady stuff, maybe so. Yet, everybody in the European Union, and the word was put this way, hates her because she represents the symbol of austerity in every part of the European Union, and that is not pretty.
No.
And she continues to wield that kind of a seat of power, as you will. Yet, and the market is artificial. It looks like the market is just holding steady, you might say. Everything's just honky-dory fine with the markets in the Eurozone. And that's about as true as what looks like over here. And nothing is honky-dory about the markets over here. Like I said, they're playing cannibal games on themselves. They're taking the massive debts that they keep adding on to the debts of every country on earth by taking the debts originally now, because there's no other way that they think they can keep going with this, and they put it in the hedge funds, they roll it, and then they make huge profits, and they keep on putting it in their pockets, only that huge profit makes the doubles or triples or quadruples the debt each time they do it, and they don't pay anything back. That's what they're doing.
Yes.
That's called cannibalizing them themselves.
Actually is the reason why we're going to be having all these changes, because of this kind of constant manipulation behind the scenes, taking from the American people and people from around the world. And so what is being done about it that we can talk about?
Okay, now let me just tell you a few things because this is why this is a galactic operation. There's no way that the Earth people by themselves can do anything about it. I just got to say another little piece because that helps me explain something. You know, people are looking for getting, you know, everybody was signing up for that Saint Germain Trust. Every time people put their names in there, you know what? They put those names in the hedge funds. They put another person in the hedge funds, and then they make money on that, and then they put that in their pockets too. And they're never intended to give anything out of that one. That's a criminal endeavor. Same thing with the dinar and the dong and the Zimbabwe, all of that. And again, you've got to look on the ground in these countries. These countries are dying of famine. They are killing the people. They're taking their weapons modification and they're forcing drought on these people. Or they're forcing heat on other countries like India and Pakistan. Now it's up to over 2,000 people dead in Pakistan. It's over 3,000 people dead from heat stroke in India, having temperatures like 125 to 30 degrees every day. And these people do not have electricity most of the time. That means they can't even put a fan on themselves. And most of the people that are dying are people that if they don't work and they have outside work, they die anyway. This is called manipulation of a much more bloody kind. And that's why you cannot serve two masters. That's why none of this ever was intended to pay out or will ever pay out. And that the reason for it is because, you know, you can give them a benefit of the doubt that they'll actually do something they say they're going to do. Yet what you've got to watch is what they're doing in the other countries. And that's another thing. You know, Mr. McCain went over there in 2011 to Syria, and he got together in Syria with Netanyahu and Prince Bandar, and at the time King Abdullah, now King Abdullah's not here anymore, right? He's got his son in there or something.
There's a King Salman, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So he's now in bed with Prince Bandar and Netanyahu and McCain. And they have never stopped arming this one group, rebels, who are the same group that back in 2011 were bringing in from wherever they came from, the chlorine gas from Israel, and whatever else they were using in terms of gas. It was had nothing to do with Bashar al-Assad at all.
No.
And they're the ones that have been infiltrating everything, and they still are chemically poisoning the people on the ground. And they're not even reporting it now. You can't even get people in there without themselves getting dead who could possibly report it or who might try and are getting dead anyway.
How are we resolving all these things? I mean, we're talking about what's going on. We're certainly getting educated about what happens behind the scenes, and yet we all hold that space for
okay,
the shift.
Okay. This is a good question, Kathy. So, okay. So there are files that they're downloading now. That means Julian Assange and WikiLeaks and Edward Snowden. That's one way, big way how. And the latest little thing is that the United States has been discovered through those download WikiLeaks that they've been surveilling the last three presidents. You know, this one and Sarkozy and the one before. What was the other one before that? I can't remember. For all these years, they've been not just surveilling them a little bit. They've been doing everything. And now the parliament in France, has passed, adopted a new law that widens their ability to eavesdrop back. And not that they're not doing it all along, but they're going to get vicious with that. And this is not Obama. What's the name of that guy that's the head of the NSA? Or he's not there anymore, but the next one, Roberts has been there, and the other one, Keith Alexander. He is the most evil thing that ever, I mean, he's got enhancement from technology in his body. These people are never going to give up. Okay, so now, again, the galactic part of this is moving right along. Where did we go back then? Let's see if we can repeat this. Okay, Lady Di, Dodi, the King of Swords, Lady Nada, and Catherine, and Angelina Jolie, and Brad Pitt, and Larry Curly and Moe. All these people were on a conference call with Rama.
Yes.
5 days ago.
That's right.
On the 20th. So what day?
Right before the solstice.
On Saturday. Right.
Yeah.
This was
the night after Dr. Hoagland talked about these structures on the moon and Mars.
Yeah, that's what's being done about it too, because that's the worst fear they have, that they get called out in front of the world that we have galactic brothers and sisters that can help us. And once that is right on the ground and it's already moving, you know, when you got it on BBC, primetime television, blocking the media in this country only lasts so long.
And China is blatantly showing it on their news agencies.
Yep.
With their rover called the Jade Rabbit. And they talk about the ships every single day in China. It is just everyday news.
And the thing is, you know, they have to get that part. It has to be a simulcast so everybody comprehends. So what do? When they're in deep doo-doo trouble?
They
murder nine people through a programmed, drugged, basically kid.
He was 21. He's an adult, yet he looks like a child, and it has to do.
And his father did not buy the gun directly for him. His father gave him some money for his birthday, and then he went out and bought the gun because our NRA, Mr. Pepe Le Pew, is the ugliest, dirtiest dog we could possibly have by promoting these no doing something. And you heard Barack Obama since that happened. You know, he went right after him. He went after the gun lobby. He said they did not allow the majority of the people in this country, is up to 80-some percent, wanted some real checks when those school...
Full background checks
for those school kids' murders, which was also a black op, knowing that that kid didn't do it at all. Where else did this happen? In the Aurora bombing. They actually gave some kind of an unbelievable grovka, I can't remember the name of it, but it completely erased this young man's memory. And our black op CIA were living with him in his house. He didn't know anybody. He didn't know who was there. They were using his credit cards. They were using his online places to get all this stuff lined up, the masks, the outfit, the bulletproof vest, the rounds, the guns, and he didn't do it at all. He was completely out of it in the police car in the parking lot. And the other people, with another guy in there, and the other car was the car that had the person in it that got in there through the front door and went and did all the murders, and everybody just... The news set it up that it looked like this guy did that, and that's not what happened.
No.
How many black ops do we need? There, and that same person, that one in Texas, that one and shot up on at the base, and was it Fort Hood? Yeah, and killed people there. That was a black op too. Same thing over there at the Navy in Washington, D.C.
The Virginia Navy Yard.
Well, it was not. There was an. Was it? I thought that was not far from deep from the Capitol.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't.
It wasn't far at all from.
It was
from
2 miles from the White House.
Yeah.
So how could that be in Virginia?
Well, okay.
It was in Washington, D.C. Yeah. And that was a black op. And so, what you're watching? And okay. This is what has to happen here. You know, now it looks like Barack is being a dirtball, you know, pushing TPP. That's not the reason he's doing it.
No.
Because we learned today, Rama talked to the King of Swords today.
Yeah.
And the King of Swords said that they are so desperate to get TPP through. The first thing that, I mean, I was just listening to 2 days ago, you know, when the
TPP. Well, just tell everybody what TPP, tell everybody what this is.
Okay. Tom Hartman's got an acronym for it. And there are 12 countries, including us.
Southern Hemisphere Free Trade Agreement.
Southern Hemisphere Asian Free Trade Agreement. So we've got NAFTA, GAFTA, and then this one you can call it SHAFTA,
right,
which is what it really is. And it's called the Trans-Pacific Partnership, TPP. That's the way they talk about it in the news, but that's not what, you know, Tom Hartman's giving more of the truth about what it is.
Yes.
So, okay. What are we talking about here? We're talking about the fascist, global fascist state. Now we're going global. Have set up their own judges, 6 or 9 of them, I can't remember, on an international court that preempts every other court system in every other country on earth, including the International Criminal Court. It's a preemptive setup. And they also have their own lawyers. So if any country whatsoever impairs their profits at any level, and they've already done this in Australia, or was it New Zealand? New Zealand and Uruguay. They already did it there, and it was on the tobacco industry thing. And what does that mean? It means that... they tried to force in Uruguay, I think that's the right place, they tried to force the tobacco industry to label that it's dangerous to your health, and these are why, because these are the ingredients that you're smoking with the tobacco, mm-hmm. and that it's GMO. You know, they wanted that to be labeled. So they sued them already. They sued them anyway. And they still get to do what they want no matter what. They sued them, and they got all kinds of money for it. And they completely stripped that law from the books, and they said, no, you don't, because, and you're going to have to pay the billions and billions of dollars that you cost us to just go after you in the first place. That's what TPP is. So, for instance, say, you know, like you saw this down in Texas, in that town that began with a D, I forgot the name of that town, but they wanted to ban fracking, and they did. They made a law at the city level banned fracking in that town. And then the governor preempted the municipality, and they passed a law in Texas that says you can no longer ban fracking at all in any city or any place in the turf of the whole country, whole state. This is what they're doing.
How can they do that in Texas? Texas can only speak for Texas.
No, Montana. Just tell her that and she'll get it.
No. That the governor can only do it for Texas. That's what I said. They, not in the country. I said in the state. I corrected myself.
Oh, okay.
In the state. And they're doing that in other states, too. They're following suit. Also, like in Hawaii, you know, they got this bill out there, and they actually got it passed because they put it on the ballot, right, in 2012, mm-hmm. that they would ban GMO seed planting.
Right.
Okay, so what did these corporate dicks do in Hawaii? They got together with the governor in Hawaii, and then they passed that same law that said it only in that category, that you cannot ban GMO seed planting. You just can never do it anywhere in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Not in Kauai, not on Oahu, not on Maui, not on the Big Island, and not on any Lanikai, not anywhere. Do you see what's going on? These are the same people that are trying to sell us on all their game plans. And I say that Zimbabwe and that dinar, and look, they are completely raping, pillaging, and plundering and killing the people like flies in those countries. And it's out of sight, out of mind in terms of what's going on. We've got to realize that we are galactic, global citizens, and that all these borders were only for their convenience. And that all has to go, and Nasara dilutes it all.
So let's just pick that up, because we have yet to say what the galactic intervention is.
Okay. Okay, Rama was really getting ornery this last time. It was yesterday. Was it yesterday?
The day before.
The day before yesterday. He got to talk to Tom the Ringtail Cat.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I remember everything that you were talking about. Do you? Let me see if I can find that.
It was about all these subjects we've been bringing up, including the Charleston shooting. And it all has to do with the major distractions they're wanting to throw at everyone, because they do not want people to see what's going on a larger scale that is so close that our nearest neighbors in the solar system are saying, hi, we'd like to talk in peace, in love, and understanding of how we can heal this. And Captain Mark Kelly, Gabby Gifford's husband, is part of the Secret Space Command out there. He's stationed on the International Space Station. I think his brother is down here on the ground and they're, you know, communicating and doing things, but Mark Kelly knows all about this stuff. He's sworn to secrecy to the point of death, and it just brings up another point that they would love to shut these people up permanently talking about these subjects, because it just throws cold water in the face of all these other things happening right now, including the TPP and, you know, yeah, the Supreme Court, you know, Obamacare is here to stay, yet it's not single payer. It's one step closer. I still cannot go and apply for Obamacare, you know, because I don't want to give them my underwear size where I live and yada.
See, it wouldn't help anyway because
no.
There was a person on Tom Hartman, too, that's, see, Barack got something going with this health care thing that it took 100 years to even get that far.
Right.
Yet what the vast majority of the people, again, wanted was single payer.
Right.
And it's not true that only some and everybody wants their own private. That's all poppycock.
Right.
It's all a snow job. Oh, there was another piece about this, because what's happening in the South, you know, they've got this, you know, the Republicans. And by the way, you can, okay, you can blame Nixon for starting this kind of free trade stuff.
Yeah.
Because we would normally, within constitutional law, have to sign a treaty every single time. And what he did in the 70s is he just completely changed that, and he turned it over to this thing called an agreement, where it demotes the, you might say, the checks and balances that a treaty have to have.
Treaties and tariffs were the thing that held this country together.
And we had tariffs back there, and now the biggest amount of our tariffs when things come in the country are maybe 2%. That
Reagan.
Is pathetic. And it was 30% back in the 70s. And so what's happened there? That means all these, that's why we've got 65,000 factories that just left and went to Mexico and China and the Philippines and Vietnam and that island over there, I forgot, where they're doing all this.
And
anyway, what they can do then is they can go and they can get dirt cheap labor. They still make 78 cents an hour in Vietnam, folks. For the people that go and get paid there, and then they have child trafficking. They have them working there. They're working 16 hours a day, 7 days a week for our corporations.
Bain Capital, Mitt Romney.
And then when they're off work, they're getting raped.
Yeah.
And they're aborting their kids as soon as they get pregnant too. They have no life. And so this is what the same corporate fascist states wants more of. Is profit and more child labor. And, you know, 10 years now, Mitch McConnell and his wife have been doing child trafficking en masse.
Along with drug
all
running.
All over the world, including in this country.
Yeah.
And they are getting away with murder. And not only that, Mitch McConnell was the responsible person through his wife's father's shipping company that he actually, in some kind of a transport way, got the Ebola virus, literally. How come?
I don't know. There's not a cloud in the sky.
Got the Ebola virus, literally. Yeah, you do. Into the country. In Africa, this man is, you know, should anything happen to President Obama, this man would be our president? Are you ready for this? Are we living in a fascist state? And that was a report just the other day that Freddie Gray died from a high impact. Well, that high impact was imposed upon him by those policemen before he was ever put in that van. He was bludgeoned to death and he wasn't breathing, and they got up on his feet and the pain was so severe what they did to him that it brought him to in unbelievable pain. And the other gentleman that was on the other half, they didn't pick him up till right before they got to the place, but he was in there, he said, about 15-20 minutes, but he already knew that this guy was not conscious. He was not breathing. So everything that they said from the time they even took him into the hospital is not true. In other words, he was dead when they pulled him out of there, and they didn't tell that story. This man got on for 20 minutes and talked about it, and it was on Al Jazeera when it was going to happen. I can't remember the date anymore, but I witnessed it. So if you think it's bad, it's way, way worse.
Okay, well, that's good. So let's go back to how we make it better and what the Galactics are helping us with.
Well, right now, full disclosure is coming along, and the release of these pictures is the biggest thing we could have ever have imagined right now. Going on BBC TV, that's even bigger. And, of course, we've got a blackout. But we have to have that happen, and the people have to realize that, because they're going to need – oh, good. Oh, good. They're going to need to use – they're literally going to need to use force fields, because they're going to arrest over 500,000 people all at once. And
how
those
is that possible? I mean, that sounds so ridiculous.
No,
sounds
it's not
so ridiculous.
What's ridiculous about it, Kathy?
500,000 people.
500,000 people. 500,000, Kathy.
It's all right, 500,000 is still a humongous number.
Yes. So what they're going to do, they've got 20 million sovereign militia forces to help them on the ground with. And 16 million of them are Galactics. They're not human. They just are wearing a suit that looks like they're human so they don't scare the bejeebers out of everybody.
Like Tom the Cat.
Oh, that's to finish that story. Good, Kathy. Okay.
Yeah. The other day, I was, you know, in the car talking with Tom the Cat on the phone about all of these issues, including the Charleston shooting. And I'm, you know, like challenging Tom and just saying, you know, for Joe the Plumber, Dave the Carpenter, and Sarah Palin, how does this come across? When? And, you know.
He kept on saying when. He wouldn't let him get away with it. So then, Tom the Cat hung up on Rama. And in a split second, he was sitting in the passenger seat, all 7.5 feet tall of him, in his cat body.
Yes.
With his ring-tailed orange-striped tail.
And the car
all crunched up. We got a really big car. You know what it looks like, right, sister?
Yeah.
Still, just imagine with the seat completely back as far as it can go, and he's still 7.5 feet tall, and he weighs solid as a brick. He weighs 400 pounds.
And the car was just leaning all to the right. You know, to the place where it looked like, you know, I had problems with the shocks, and I was kind of in shock, just going,
okay, I got it, dude.
Yeah, I got it.
Now we're in the parking lot at the Field in the Mall. Will you please, anybody comes by here, I don't know, they might arrest me.
Yeah.
He said, okay, you got it, and he was gone that fast.
Yeah.
He said, and then he called him back up, and he said, that's how, dude. Have a nice day.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's how fast this reality can suddenly change. And
that's right.
There's nothing the black ops or the governments can do. And what it has to do with, as we are all one, and focusing on that heart, love, energy. We are in
Rama, they'll take a force field around these 500,000 people. In the same way that Tom the Ringtailed Cat was able to come quickly, show himself, and then disappear just as quickly. A force field.
Yeah, that's exactly right. In other words, these 20 million sovereign militia forces, they're all over the world. They're on the ground. And where those places, you know, you need to, how many are going to be in London? How many are going to be in Israel? How many are going to be in the United States? How many are going to be in any of the other countries?
The EU.
Anywhere in the EU, wherever they need to be, in Japan, in China, in India.
Choosing to set up a moment where there is an agreement where we freeze form, in a sense, with a force field, by taking all these dark ones out of the way.
Listen, it'll be a ground-to-air mission. In other words, in a concentrated area where there's enough people that need to be arrested, they'll put the force field right in that one spot. Remember, there's trillions of starships, trillions, and they've been in our atmosphere for decades now. Because our little planet isn't only creating havoc right here. It's creating havoc in our entire solar system.
And I've been talking...
It's causing major damage.
And I've been talking about this for a few weeks now. There's been a lockdown on our planet, in the solar system, and in the local sector of our Milky Way galaxy. There's been a ceasefire, a halt to the intergalactic wars.
They are calling it temporary only because it depends on what goes on at the ground level on the earth plane, which has to do with they have to allow, just like Mother said, this is a free will choice planet.
Yes.
And so the people have to get enough together. And I know Margaret Mead only had said it only needs a small group of us. So we're a small group of us. That's fine. And we got a responsibility to make our group grow as well, not just sit there and know what we know, but not share it.
Right.
That and not to get involved with anything else. Right now, there ain't going to be anything else because, like I was saying in weeks before now, when Big Will would keep coming on here and asking a question, all Big Will's online too, but he would always say about, you know, what I want to know about the dinar and what about the revaluing and what all about that. And I said, it'll never happen. And what's going to happen here is that the entire planet's going to go economically to zero. That anything they've got going, and they've got so much fraud and so many things going everywhere, it's all going to go to zero.
And Greece is the first domino that's already started, where they just said, no deal.
They're not going to force more austerity on their people. And Christine Lagarde says, then I'm not going to budge, and you'll break when it's time to break.
This takes the entire global economic system down because it's all based in fraud. There's no money backing any of the systems. And
okay, before we go to Big Will, though, we have Big Will waiting for us. Before we do that, Raman Tara, let's just back up for a second and talk about the galactics are going to be, you said it's a land-to-air, air to land, what is happening? They're going to take these beings out.
All these 500,000 people are spread all over the place.
Right, so, and they're going to do
even
what?
Even if there's only one, they're not going to hurt anybody else. They're just going to lock those. They're going to lock that force field on that one, and there'll be a handy little, you know, sovereign militia force, and they'll go in there and they'll just put them in shackles and they'll haul them off and they won't be able to get out of it because they can't move.
And so we're talking about in mass, so to speak, because 500,000 people is definitely en masse. And so pulling them out of the way, allowing the good men and women into the positions to create the new systems is what you're saying? Move them out, bring in our new systems.
Yes, but there's a few steps along the way there because everything will be done according to the law. They'll be putting them in our jails all over the world. Wherever they got to go to jail, they go to jail. Or they'll be putting them in there until they can get a plane and take a whole bunch of them from wherever they are. And that they have built this humongous underground jail in The Hague. I mean, there's enough room for all 500,000 of them right there. And they're eventually going to go there. And they've already, this is where these four war crimes tribunals that have been going on since 2003, 2005, 2006, and 2010. Fitzgerald, Franklin, World Court, and Kuala Lumpur. All of these things have been going on for years and years and years. And every one of those 500,000 plus have been individually indicted, prosecuted, tried, and convicted in these war crimes tribunals. Do you realize what they have done? Do you realize how they drag things out for one or two people in the regular system? They have done this rhythmically because they've had football fields full of information on these guys for decades.
Baron von Rothschild, they issued arrest warrants for him earlier this week. It was in the London Mirror, in The Guardian. And not one word of it in our United States.
Yeah, the pictures of the glass places on the moon are in the London and the Guardian for a week and now or more.
Yeah, and you know, Baron von Rothschild has been, you know, Interpol, I guess, and judges over there in Europe ordered for him to be picked up, and maybe he's hiding out in one of his castles, like in Normandy, France. Yet, I have not seen one hide nor hair word of these stories, except, you know, it was on Twitter, it was in those London papers, and nobody's picked it up. But it is still going across the planet. These are some of the other kind of stories that are surrounding all the shenanigans that have to do with major distractions right now as Greece falls apart, the rest of the EU.
In other words, the lack of confidence. They've already pulled $40 or $50 billion out of the Bank of Athens, the people, whoever had their money in there, and they put them in other places. And I know that Russia is up to helping that, too. I know that Putin and Varoufakis have been meeting, and now Tsipras, too, more than once, you know, numbers of times. And they've got a plan. And they, in other words, you know, the king of Egypt talked to us a month and a half ago now, and he told us this is what's going to happen. It's going to leave the Eurozone,
and
that's what's going to happen.
Last Saturday, I played this half-hour piece called The T-Files, The Last Card, with this couple who are it was a satire based on The X-Files, talking about the idea of a fake alien invasion. All of these things are in the mix right now simply because of the fact the 13 families are flat broke, busted. They have nowhere to turn except to fear of nuclear brinkmanship or destroying major infrastructures in this country, along with, you know, creating as much chaos and fear as they can. They already started with the shooting in Charleston last Wednesday with this kid and the Confederate flag. And it has created much more of an awakening with the people in the sense of the fact that the Confederate flag, actually, it's called the banner. And, you know, it's treason on its face because Tom Hartman earlier this week had this recording he played, and I think it was I can't remember this guy's name. He was a hardcore Republican, but he said slavery was the first form of Social Security. Think about that statement. And it's got to do with the landed white gentry in this country that has nothing to do with anything other than the folks that came over here from Europe that are tied in with the 13 families. The larger picture about this, I talked with Reverend Al Sharpton in the last week, and he brought up the story about the melanin, the gold dust, how the Anunnaki, you know, diluted our DNA, RNA, and extracted the melanin out of our DNA to make us these white, frail creatures instead of, you know, the black folks that were the original black Moors that came from Lemuria and Atlantis. All of these things have a tie-in with all of what we're talking about, of how many ways to Sunday they've been distracting us with so many other various stories that have nothing to do with reality except to, you know, go put your head in the sand and wait for, you know, the fake rapture or Armageddon or whatever. Yet all of it, you know, to tie it into what you're asking, Kathy, how do these 500,000 folks get rounded up? What I can say to that is that Mr. 19.5 Degrees already knows the plan. Mr. Xi of China, Mr. Putin. Putin and Russia are so many light years ahead of the United States in terms of technology.
They always have been. They never has been the world number one. That's never been.
They're in contact with the good galactic forces along with many here in this country. And all of what is being played out is this very dangerous brinkmanship game where how many guns can they get on the streets and get in the hands of the people? And it's like what Obama said earlier this week. None of the things that happen in this country would ever happen in any other country because they have ways how they deal with it. When the cops apply for a job in another country, they have to literally get a PhD almost to become a cop. You just don't get a high school diploma or a GED, or you don't just go to Iraq or Afghanistan and serve your country and go back and get a law enforcement job and somebody hands you an automatic weapon, a taser, you know, and you know, you're loose like Darren Wilson in Ferguson. And what was explained to me by the King, by Tom, by so many folks I've talked to in the last little while, that this is just at such a deep core level, we're on the edge of full disclosure. Yet at the same time, as we praise, respect, thank, and love the feelings for all of this, as it's coming up, it changes the course of the story from one of fear and hate to one of love. Our biggest test for us, the 144,000 times 100,000 times 100,000, is as these events rapidly unfold, we're going to be given our ultimate test as things kind of fall into chaos a bit, like all the Faction 2, Faction 1 folks have been talking about on all the websites, playing with the idea as of July 15th, the Jade Helm story, and martial law, and, you know, U.S. troops playing false flag event games in major U.S. cities across the Southwest through from California to Texas up into Colorado. I don't know what's going on the East Coast, but all of it is tied in with a few agendas they want to play with in the event as Greece falls, then Ireland, Spain, Portugal, the rest of the EU countries and the EU totally collapses. That affects the rest of the planet. It affects the United States. What would we do over here as our liquidity disappears, evaporates into, you know, empty air, and there's nothing backing whatever we call currency? The first thing they want to do is have the troops in the streets. Also, our police have been taken over to Israel and trained by the Mossad, by the
They did that in Baltimore for sure.
By Shin
Bet. Every academy of new police goes
by Shin
Bet.
Right. Shin Bet is a specialized police unit in Israel where all they do
is being trained to kill.
Trained to kill people. Just no recompense, no recourse. It's just, you know, if it moves, if it breathes, shoot it. Just like Blackwater did in Iraq and Afghanistan. And they want to do that over here in the event of the financial collapse going on. And there are so many folks telling me, as they even begin to play with these ideas of Jade Helm and the military stepping into our cities and challenging us or the police or the city officials, some things are going to kind of happen. Where those things that are going to kind of happen is, let's say, there will be some folks that show up out of the woodwork, just like Tom showed up in my car, and they're just going to say, put your toys away. They don't work. We're going to need to figure out how we can talk about this calmly, peacefully, and, you know, when's the last, like, Medea Benjamin did when she went to Iraq and she confronted Blackwater in Iraq, and she said to the soldier, pointing an M16 with the laser focused on her third eye, the little red dot. Medea Benjamin said to the soldier, did you call your mother?
It's Mother's Day today. And he broke down in a puddle in her lap and sobbed his heart out.
This is what I'm talking about. We need to be that Rock of Gibraltar for the people that are going to lose it. And they are losing it right now. I'm just saying this is a fair warning with what's going on. I kind of passed the talking stick here.
How about if we pass that talking stick on to Big Will, who's patiently waiting in the background? What's
yes.
that, Big Will? Are you there, Big Will?
Hello.
Okay, we welcome you.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much. Lord Rama, you are spot on, sir, and I want to say to you and Tara, namaste. What I have to say is very, very interesting that we talk about black folks and purple and blue folks. You know, the Omacs are the beautiful blue people with those beautiful, beautiful gold, golden, yellow-looking eyes. And you are
absolutely
correct, Lord Rama. They are on the ground. And another group that's on the ground are the black race of Saturn. They're known as the Aka. And I'll spell that for you. It's A-K-I-F. A-K-I-F-K-A-N. And they are from Saturn. They're on the ground. These are our black brothers and sisters who look exactly like black folks. And they are in the background. And
yep.
they are here to collect mother wayward children. You're absolutely correct. They are here now. And the reason how I know that, remember I told you and Tara that roughly about 4 years ago, I had a visitor in my front living room.
Do
you recall that?
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember what I told you? The color of the eyes?
Yeah.
They were beautiful, beautiful. You know, I'm getting chill bumps right now, guys. And it's like I remember it's just like it happened yesterday. Ladies and gentlemen, what Tara Rama talked about is so very real. I can't even fathom to tell you how the magic is happening everywhere. The magic is indeed happening. These criminals will be picked up, and that is a promise, and I promise you that. So that's what I want to say. Thank you, Lord Rama. Thank you, Lady Master Tara. Thank you, Kathy, for allowing me this platform. Namaste.
Namaste.
Thank you, Big Man.
I'm going to talk about something here, but I just wanted to, this is just kind of off the cuff, but the other day, and it's never been in the news, but Rand Paul, he got drunk as a skunk, and then he rammed, he must have not been in his body, and he must have either stepped on the, he must have put the car in reverse when he went to go forward or something, but he completely destroyed a front end of another car. And so the cops came, they arrested him, they took him to jail, and he was swearing like a sailor and telling them every kind of UMFers and everything else. And they put him in jail anyway, and they made him pay, and then he got out. But this is who's running for president? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That's just so people get.
Well, we've got Donald Trump. Everybody and his brother is jumping into the ring just because they have money. I mean, it's like a circus out there.
Oh, yeah. And there's supposed to be a bunch more now. But Donald Trump is number two. He's got 11% now. Do you believe it?
And Bobby,
I can't believe he thinks the American people would even begin to take him seriously. I don't get it.
Well, you got to realize this is the ultimate reversal, because he's the one that's been yapping about, oh, Barack's not from here and he wasn't born here. And, you know, the birth certificate guy, he's the birth certificate guy. He was born in South Africa to his Danish, Dutch, out of wedlock mother. And his birth certificate is from there, and he created something saying he was born in Jamaica Hospital in New York City, and that's a complete fraud.
Yeah.
Is that right?
And he cannot run. Oh, yeah. That was in the news years ago. I'm just regurgitating it for you, so you know.
And Bobby Jindal's running, which is kind of a joke.
Go ahead. What did you want to say? What did you want to ask about him again?
I mean, we could go in so many directions, man. I don't even know where to go. But let's just stick with the Donald for a moment. So he comes from a wealthy family, and so this wealthy family, how did they bring him into being there? And I mean, what's going on there? The South African
thing. Now that opens up a whole nother, because it's not just any wealthy family. It's the royal Dutch royals, and the Dutch royals are responsible for bringing the Bushes over here. Remember, they're all German-born, and they're Nazis. Yeah. And the father of Bush Jr. is not Bush Sr., never was. It's JFK Sr.
Right.
So his daddy is not the same as what everybody thinks.
And JFK will be back.
And the Bush family were completely broke. They had no money. The Dutch royals and the Tyson Corporation made them rich. The Tyson Corporation is a Nazi corporation. And if you're ever going to eat any chicken, don't make it Tyson's.
No. Free range,
you don't want to know. You don't want to know what they do. They are cruel. What they do is they have all these farmers grow up all these chickens, and then they have them starve them of water for 4 days. Then they pay for them as they are with no water, in their bellies, and then they feed them with water for about 4 more days when they get them where they want to go, and then they sell them for maybe twice as much as what they really are, and they have every kind of poison and toxin and GMO and everything else because they feed them that kind of food with all that Roundup on it and that glyphosate, and that's the chicken that you get to eat from Tyson's, and they're part of the depopulation of the world situation, which is the original thing was to reduce the human population to under 2%. Under 2%. This last 100 years was just an experiment where they got rid of 2 billion of us in 100 years. Now there's this whole scene, it's got a YouTube and everything, where they're planning to get rid of 1 billion people this year. I have no idea how many that they have already counted, but you know, they've manipulated the weather, they've killed people every which way, the Ebola virus, all these things that we don't ever actually, you know, there's 4.5 million people starving to death in South Sudan right now.
Yeah.
They've been in complete drought. Nothing. And they're starving to death as we speak. I mean, what are we looking at here? Is this out of sight, out of mind thing? And it's got to stop. It's got to stop. And we're going to get sobered up like you wouldn't believe here. But nonetheless, this is another thing. I haven't found the Noam Chomsky writing yet, but he was basically talking to Amy about a week ago or something. But he was saying, you know, that the slave camps that we call politely plantations, that is a joke.
They were concentration camps.
Literally. And he said Hitler would have a plenty thing to learn about those concentration camps that we had over here, because his weren't nearly like they are here. And that they had free license to, you know, beat you to a pulp. And as a matter of fact, what he said, which I thought was extremely interesting, if I can only find it, but I can just...
I mean, our own George Washington was...
He said by the whip alone that the cotton industry was producing more than all the automated factories could possibly produce. They were producing by using the whip until you die. They were producing more cotton than any other industry ever had been able to do by doing that. And they did that on a regular basis. And you've got to realize that the people that they killed, called Native Americans, their origins go back to ancient Lemuria, and those people were black.
Yeah.
And in other words, the people before the Native Americans were the people of ancient Lemuria, and they were black. And they came over here when Lemuria was starting to, things had broken up. The first land of Mu was just one great big island. But this is a very long span of time, and they're talking about 100,000 years, in the last 100,000 years at least. And what we understand is that it was 100,000 years or so ago. Some people say 200,000. When we got an upgrade in our DNA with the help of the forces of light. In other words, our evolution in consciousness was infused with these higher vibrations at, you know, between 100 and 200,000 years ago. I mean, let's just say that. So that you know that this wasn't just Cro-Magnon running around or anything like that. Not at all. And they're called the Washita Moors. Right. The Washita people are the oldest indigenous people on Earth. The Washita de Mu and the Washita de Dugamunda. That's how you spell that, Dugdahmundyah. I learned how to say it finally. Dugamunda. Mm-hmm. Anyway. The original Amazon women came from Lemuria of this tribe, the Ouachita Moors, too. On the 2nd of Mu, they call it, 25,000 years ago, the Ouachita people decided to leave their native land of Mu. Mu had become decadent and power-hungry, yet the Ouachita were a peaceful, righteous, and honorable family. The matriarchal society since the time of the Empress Ismaali, I-S-M-A-L-A-L-E, an accent on the E. Righteous and honorable family. A matriarchal society since the time of the Empress 100,000 years ago plus. The ancient Ouachita were musicians, historians, herbalists, and architects. That's another thing. I digress. All the disciplines in every university never came from the white man, ever. It came from the original people of the land of the black land, all of them. And I read a whole book when we were in the East Coast. I can't remember which one right now, Kathy, but we were in Washington, D.C. when we read this book on our show. And I mean, we read the whole thing, and it was saying every single one of them, astronomy, astrology, history, music, art, dance, all of it was based in the people of the black land. It did not come from any white people. The Anunnaki started experiments. They actually started about 450,000 years ago, and they started to do this pulling the melanin out of the skin. And every generation they do some more, they'd skip a bunch of generations, and then they do it again, and they do it again. In other words, white never happened unless they artificially made it happen to us. Everybody was deep, rich, melanin-toned skin in the ancient land of Mu. And the landing party missions were coming from Pleiades, and they landed on the Kalalau Valley. That was the first landing party mission, and they were as black as coal, too. They were children of the sun, and that's our home. We come from there, and that's where we're going back to. We're actually heading back now, and that's another thing to really get. We're not going in the same place in an orbit around the sun year after year. No. Every single planet's got its own spiral. It's moving in a spiral, not a circle or an ellipse, moving in an elliptical spiral. And the sun has got one, too. The sun is following a star in the Lyran constellation called Vega. And I learned about this in sixth grade when we had an assignment to study the stars and to make a report on whatever we did. And my mother had an encyclopedia set, and I would sit home and I'd read until it was after midnight every night. I was reading about the fact in sixth grade that the sun follows the star Vega. The only thing is that our sun and our whole planetary solar system is moving faster toward Vega than Vega is moving away from us. So we're eventually going to go back the same way we came, because the way we actually came was from the Pleiades, the first place that we came. When we had starships at the time, and the Luciferians were doing it too, when we didn't get along, that was the first disagreement in the Pleiades. The first landing place that we went from the antimatter universe, which is where the Pleiades was at the time, and it was also the Lyran constellation. So we went to Lyra, and then when we got to Vega, we literally created a fifth dimensional body form. We were 12th dimensional when we left the Pleiades to come to Vega, but we decided we wanted to descend further into matter. So all of us co-created the human body together with Mother. This isn't somebody else up there, a god on the pedestal. We were all co-creator gods and goddesses, and we knew how to do this together. So we did. And then they infuse themselves, that which is our past lives. There's many of us that were there. There's all kinds of relevant story about Akashic records here that have to be opened now, and we're getting more and more of that reality because all time is present. But this story in a 450 billion year story cycle of what we call 3D right now is not what's going on anymore. we're actually in the fifth dimension, the whole body of the earth, and actually the earth is already moving with the energies of the sixth dimension, and some of us are even working in the seventh dimension, depending on the advancement of our consciousness in unity consciousness, how well we've perfected, you know, the power of the positive thought and keeping ourselves, you know, in a state where we stay in those higher frequencies. And as we learn by experience, that means we gain more wisdom that way. That's why we do our best to play as much of Nassim as we can. We're going to keep doing that. And we might want to do that today. But let me just say that we came through the Star Vega, then we went to the Orion War. And we all went into the Orion's Belt. And the Pleiades got there and played war games. And the Sirius got there and played war games. And the Vegans played war games from the Lyran Constellation. This 5,000 literal year war took place there. And then the Orion warlords, who never ended the war, came into the high middle period of Atlantis and continued the war in Atlantis. And that's when Ramtha said, not over my living body are you going to do that. And Ramtha almost, not quite, but he almost succeeded in taking them all down. The galactic fifth, this was, and Atlantis was a fifth-dimensional style of living. We had laser technology. We had crystal technology. And we misused it. We got to be high priests, and then we said, oh, well, let's see if we can take over China. Let's just do that. We'll just take over China. We got a bright idea, right? Really bright idea. And so we did. We tried by sending a laser from the great crystal in the Bermuda Triangle. We sent a laser into the center of the earth, into the sun. That's the one mistake we didn't realize, is that the sun, which is basically the heart of our earth mother and is intelligent, and the overlighting principle is Vaiwamis, and his consort Gaia were there in the heart level, and they said, I don't think so, and they sent it back, and it blew up the crystal. And that's what caused the sinking of Atlantis. Now Atlantis had five huge islands. Two of them were really big, and then they had three smaller ones. And so where the Atlantic Ocean was, there was this huge mass. And this one that we're part of went, you know, was out there into the Atlantic and came all the way in to where we live right here, 20 minutes past here. We live in Santa Fe, and there's a little place called La Cienega. And there's a place there called Sunrise Springs. And it went all the way to that place. And that's why right now the Lemurian Sun Disk is still sitting on that land. It's a 10-story tall, fifth-dimensional sun disk anchoring the original Lemurian energies right there in this planet for us to wake up to and remember before we started fighting in Lemuria. I'm maybe telling a lot a of
spot. Yeah, maybe this is a good spot. It's 10:56. We're just almost at the top of the hour, and maybe we'll take a musical break. So whatever for the next few minutes you would like to touch on before we change the energy completely and do whatever. Do you have something that you had planned for that last hour, Tara, that you could?
Well, yes, we were going to go through Nassim Haramein, but we can play whatever much time we need. But if you're getting sleepy and it's the bewitching hour for you, that's fine too.
Well, you know that I do get up early every morning on the East Coast side here, and that is something right. that I do. But I just wanted to say that, you know, we've hit a lot of different subjects here, and I always bring it back to what are the galactics doing? And so when they round up these rapscallions, if you will, from all over the planet.
And Lady Master, there's one thing I just want to insert there. And that is that they're not human. I don't know why I hear this funny echo. I don't know what that is. Can we fix that? Hello? Hello?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. That's okay. I was just going to say that these rapscallions invaded as lizards. They were not part of the landing party mission never was, and they had no business being here. They did not. They invited themselves.
Right.
They're part of. They're part of the situation that we need to be able to change with a conscious awareness, so that we understand that. And there's just one little place I've ever seen anything that shows how much of a lizards they are, and that's that Godlike Productions place where they have shown pictures there of Hillary shapeshifting into her 50-foot lizard body, and her eyes turn into vertical slits, and she starts getting scales while she's talking to a newscaster in Florida. Mm-hmm. It's hysterical. And they've got all kinds of photos there. Like, they got this one with JFK Sr. and he's talking to the people at a TV podium, and right beside him he's got like an 8.5-foot lizard standing there like a guard dog.
Mm-hmm.
And you're so going,
you make a statement like these two things that you just said is like such an outrageous thing to say, and then the world doesn't know anything about it.
That's the reason that they are just trying their very darndest not to get this full disclosure out. And it's too late, Charlie Brown. The cat's already out of the bag. And, mm-hmm. you know, and Russia and China have been acknowledging this as a people.
Getting that it's going to be our Russian brothers and sisters who actually bring in the disclosure conversation.
Who?
You know, the Russians. I mean, it doesn't feel like it's going to be the United States that's going to say, hey, we've got company, people.
All I know is that, you know, Putin said this a couple of years ago. He said, if you don't do it, we will.
Yeah, I believe it.
But behind the scenes, that's one layer. But behind the scenes, they're all in that one together. Mm-hmm. And the reason that it's not happening the way that you want it is because it's been decided by Saint Germain's in charge of this whole thing. We have to realize that, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Right. Which means that we have to know that the most important thing, and the reason it hasn't happened so far, is that they need to get this. I'm just saying, this is the first time something like this is making such a big thing in the news, and it's not here. But they need to get full disclosure enough in place, and Barack will announce it. Mm-hmm. He will announce it from the podium here. And I was just going to say that Rachel had this guy on. I don't have it in front of me what his name was. She had this guy on tonight, and he was literally saying that the people don't realize it, but the way that Barack has functioned, because you remember that there were 14 members of the Republican Nazi collaborating party that bowed in the caucus room on the night of the inauguration ball in 2009, the 20th of January. They vowed to make sure that not one legacy be left for Barack Obama, and that they would never, ever, ever give him anything. He got that health care, even though it could have been single payer, because the vast majority of the people wanted that. But
that's another subject altogether. Here we are at the top of the hour, and I'm wondering, do you think we should take a break here and have some music and just catch our breath?
It's part of a wrap up. I'm just saying that. He got more things. What this guy was saying was that he did it very slowly. He did not lose anybody. You know, he became friends with everybody. And that has to do with the G7, too. He couldn't do this unless he was pushing TPP. He couldn't even be in the G7. And as a matter of fact, they would try to make him dead. And people don't get it. You know, and it looks like, you know, there's all this power going on when someone like Bush Jr. is, and that's because he's aligned with these lizards. He's a lizard himself. And we got to get it. You've got El Moria in Barack Obama. El Moria is overlighting him from his most important time, when he was overlighted by El Moria as Akbar the Great in India, and he ended 49 wars.
Yeah.
And he couldn't read and he couldn't write. He was a Mughal Muslim king of India, and he brought everything. He brought Rumi in there, poetry, art, music.
Kabir, Hafiz.
Yes, he brought all of that to India. When he couldn't read or write, he had his sages sit there and read him like Rama's father did when Rama was a little baby. By the time Rama was 5 years old, his father had read him the Upanishads and the Gita and the Arantia book and the Vedas and every major and the Keys of Enoch. He read all of it. He would every single day spend a couple of hours before Rama would go to sleep or something, and he'd read to him. I'm just saying, that's what he did. He had his teachers and his, you know, and art and music and dance and all this stuff. He had Sufi, you know, stuff being read to him and acted out into him. He brought it through the whole of India. He's doing that now with lizards and all. And he's been doing it very carefully, very gently. And this man said, as a matter of fact, he's moved this whole country farther to the left than any other sitting president, Democrat or Republican. And he's changed the very nature of the Democratic Party to progressive in spite of it, and kept the arena going for others, too, in the face of this mess in the front of the public.
Yeah, for sure. Wow, big subject in itself. We don't do anything that's not a big subject on this program, that's for sure.
I just want to remind everybody, tomorrow Barack Obama is going to give the eulogy for Reverend and State Senator of South Carolina, Pinckney, and Clemente Pinckney. And if you've seen him sitting and lying in state there, they actually got rid of that flag, you know, that's sitting in front of that. They got rid of it. And
you
that's
the Confederate flag, you mean? The Confederate flag?
Yeah. They got rid of the Confederate flag at the entry to that rotunda. And they did not dishonor that being. That being is so amazing. I don't know which master that being is, but, you know, he was the youngest person in Congress ever in our history of any state. He was 23.
Wow.
Yeah. And the church that he was heading up, that church goes all the way back to, it was founded in 1816. And 6 years later, in 1822, a man named Denmark Vesey, over those 6 years, they were organizing the slaves, and they were meeting, and they were going to their church there and everything, and they were organizing a rebellion. And it was the largest rebellion in history. And they were getting ready to pull it off, and in 1822, and they were getting ready, they were planning to pull it off on the very Wednesday of 2015, which 9 people were killed. This was a black op. They were saying, you will never get your rights. And that's how we did it. They programmed and drugged this guy and got him involved with that that very organization that was organized and called something a little bit different.
The Stormfront.
No, not the Stormfront. Yeah, his name is Storm in the middle name after the Stormfront organization, but that's not the one. The one I'm talking about has to do with, I forgot the name of that organization, the Conservative something something forum, and anyway, it morphed into the organization that changed its name just a little bit right now. Mm-hmm. But here it is, called the Council of Conservative Citizens, and the original name for that was the Citizens Council Forum, and it's been around ever since the beginning of when that organ when the Ku Klux Klan was doing their thing, like in the 1954. That's it. That's when they the Ku Klux Klan got really, you know, up against, because Brown versus Board, which was demanding and commanding that we integrate the schools, and they went around killing people that were black when that started out, and they wouldn't let it happen. And then in 1998, CPAC banned the Citizens Council Forum in 1998. And
all
on from there.
Right. I think that we're now at a little past the hour. I'm wondering if we could get BBS to bring our music forward and just take a little bit of a musical break here. And
okay. And then we'll just go to Nassim. That's good enough, but we'll continue this later.
Yeah.
But
thank you.
Yes.
Okay. We appreciate
it. So tune into the eulogy of Barack tomorrow. That ought to be really something.
Good point to be made, everybody. All right, so that's fabulous. BBS, we're going to ask for our musical break, and we'll let you bring that forth. And we thank you so much, and we'll be back in just a few short moments, everyone.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Well, I'll say namaste to Kathy. She's got to get up really early in the morning. And just to tie a few things together, this was on Rachel's show, and she was just starting off to say that the Citizens Council Forums was banned by the CPAC people in 1998. And on from there, segregationist, white supremacist, racist group, turn the page, their statement of principles reads like this, quote, "We believe the United States is a European country and that Americans are part of the European people." I guess that means that people who are not part of the European people, that are not the same white color, aren't people that are part of the European state. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what they believe. "We oppose all efforts to mix the races of mankind, to promote non-white races over the European American people, and to force the integration of the races." We're opposed to all that. That's their statement of principles. Then Rachel goes on and says, "That is what crawled out of the carcass of what Haley Barbour praised as he was going to run for president. Yet, then it didn't work out." Unquote. That's the Council of Conservative Citizens for you. That's the new name that they took on. 1998. Dylan Roof said, quote, "The first website I came to was the Council of Conservative Citizens. He credited them directly with inspiring his attempts to start a race war with this mass murder in Charleston Church. The new group said they stood up for Dylan's reasons for what he did, though not for what he did." Whatever happened to thoughts are things, everybody? That's just an absolute semantic of not wanting to get in trouble. And they're all in trouble anyway. Not working so well. Okay, I got that turned off, so you turn it on when it's ready. Okay, so then, the new group said they, no, I said that already. Though not for Republican politicians, including some who are running for president now, have been taking money, lots of money, from this racist group, i.e. Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, Rick Santorum, Governor Walker, Governor Greg Abbott, Texas, Senator Tom Cotton, Arkansas. For example, due to the exposure, remember Ted Cotton was the guy that the senator from Arkansas got 47 Republican senators to go after Iran and to basically go after the president. And basically, yeah, and he got some money from the Koch brothers too, but he was getting money from the Council of Conservative Citizens too. This is very, very ugly. Remembering that there's no difference between what they are, Nazi collaborators, and wanting to keep the plantation or the Nazi camps of the West in place. Just doing it, you know, whenever they do this thing where they reduce the taxes for the wealthy, the people that suffer the most are the people of color because they've got the market for them, you know, the real estate market. They won't let them buy into unless they're rich, and they don't get to be rich unless they turn Uncle Tom. And then they have the school systems in those little places. You know, they can only use the money that is in those little places. You know, that little place where Freddie Gray was from, I mean, Laura Flanders walked through that for half an hour. And I was just looking. I mean, three quarters of the places are just like bombshelled. It might look like they drop bombs in that place, and the windows are gone, the doors are gone. There's nobody in it. There's garbage all over the. Did you put it back on, honey? All over the place, and there's no bus system to go into town to go to work. They can't even get where they're going. There is so much to this, and they've just about done it in all the way. So I just wanted to put that in perspective. And okay, so then due to the exposure of these facts about taking money from this organization, that is the one organization that was mentioned by this person, Dylan Storm Roof, the National Storefront Organization is a Ku Klux Klan organization of the most violent of kinds. They're assuming something. They can no proof, you know, but the chances are that he was raised to be a white supremacist. It was just, you know, there were pictures of him burning flags and waving the Confederate flag and standing in front of the Ku Klux Klan library, you know, the Confederate library, and prolific writings, literally coming from him on a website since last February, and literally planning this that long. Yes, picture of him holding his gun, his piece, his new piece. Okay, so anyway, well planned. Okay, so they are all giving the money back now. They're trying to distance themselves from this group. Others on this list are Steve King, Iowa Congressman, Louis Gohmert, Louisiana, Jeff Flake, and Tom Cotton. Oh, we mentioned that already. And the families of the 9 deceased. They've been giving it to them. And they're just trying to completely turn themselves into angels over this situation anyway. So I'm going to just leave that I finished that part up. And then let's see if I can finish in the next 10 minutes that article. Where does it go now? Where did the article go? Oh, dear. Momentito. Yes, it's about the Black Moors. I don't know if I stuck it in here somewhere. Oh well. Here it is. Lots of papers, everybody. Okay, so let's finish this just to get the grasp of this. All right, so the great Amazon warrior Mu. It is estimated that her reign began some 100,000 plus years ago in ancient Mu. The ancient Washita were musicians, historians, herbalists, and architects. Their reputations reached far and near. Their millennia of spiritual and physical wealth and abundance, wars and significant differences began to occur between neighbors. Forbidden technological powers were used to destroy one another. The Washita Empire has been traditionally ruled by intuitive and spiritual women, with the bloodline dating back to the great empress Isma'ali of Mu proper, ancient Mu proper, Lemuria. And that's where the word Moors comes from. It was originally spelled M-U-U-R. Empress Uiua, U-I-U-A, the new leader of the Washita Day Second of Mu, had very powerful intuitive powers. She saw the impending doom for her homeland, Mu. She began to send the architects and their families back to the Holy Land, called Washita de Dagda Mundia, the Dagda Mundia, to survey and construct living quarters, business offices, burial chambers, and a national infrastructure for the coming migration of the Washita multitudes. Thus, the pyramids and the mounds of Washita de Dagda Mundia, now known as the United States of America, were constructed. Mounds and pyramids can be found throughout the Ohio Valley, the Tennessee Valley, the Mississippi Valley, and in the Grand Canyon. We are the Aborigines, or as Lewis and Clark called us, the black and brown, bushy-headed original inhabitants of North America. The Washita and Tunica families carry the imperial bloodline. The Europeans took control of our lives and forced us to take on the names Washington and Turner. And George Washington was black, everybody. Yes, he was. Washita in England is the green land. Sometimes they still call the Washita, but to this day, the Washington people. Yeah. In the ancient hieroglyphics of the land of the black land, the Kemet, Egypt, actually they call it the green land here, was Uachita, U-A-T-C-H-I-T-A, the original name for the Nile Delta. Oh my. The Washita Empire has a legacy of over 100,000 years of rulership by empresses. Okay, now you've got that Nile Delta, and you've got all the sacred temples all along that Nile Delta, or what you might call the Uachita. And you have the same identical temples all the way down the Colorado River, down to the bottom of the Grand Canyon. And they said they built those mounds. There's a Native American tribe at the bottom. They're very dark-skinned, and they're called, they begins with an H, Havasupai Indians. Those people come also from these people in their original state. As all Native Americans do, the ancestors are these Washita people, the land of ancient Mu people. Okay, now you're going to do the next one, next half hour, about at this clock, when it says 9:30, you got to watch and see, and then you press it down as soon as he comes back and said the last word, you know, and then you go on. Okay, so now let's see. All right. The Washita Empire has a legacy of over 100,000 years of rulership by empresses. And you know the people in ancient Mu were all run by empresses, all female. They had the females were the army people too in the ancient Mu, just in case you were wondering. And Atlantis was all male. The Orion warlords made sure of that. And the Lemurians, who were black, were in poverty, living in barrios along the rivers and the ocean fronts, and they lived in utter squalor. And that's who Ramtha was born from, a Lemurian mother and an Atlantean warrior father who came back when he was 7 or 8 and killed his mother and made him grow up in the Atlantean army and learn how to be a warrior of the Atlantean army. Just another tie-in here. The Marquis. Okay, she is the legal heir. Let me see. Her Majestic Highness, the Washita Empire has... Where was I? The Europeans... let's see. Where was I? Okay, the Europeans took control of our lives and forced us to take on the names Washington and Turner. The Washita in English means the Greenland. Okay, the Washita Empire has a legacy of over 100,000 years. Her Majestic Highness, Virdiachi Tiara Washita Turner, Tunica, Gustin L. Bay, is the reigning empress of the Washita Moor Nation. She is the legal heir to the Maison Rouge land grants that were skillfully willed to her great-grandfather Henry Turner, son of the Marquis Maison Rouge. The Marquis Joseph de Maison Rouge was the child of French nobility who was rescued by the Baron de Bastrop during the French Revolution. The King of Spain, uncle of the Maison Rouge, made the deal to transport his nephew to the New World for fear of his life. While exiled here, that story comes from Louis XIV and his wife Antoinette. They sent in the laundry bag this child they're talking about right here over to the United States and then up, and they raised him. Guess who raised them? The Iroquois, a particular one of the six that they actually formed in the Confederacy, not five, six tribes. It was called the Tuscaroras. The Tuscaroras after elephants. That's interesting. Tusk Auroras. Anyway, they went up and they planted themselves in across the border in Canada, in Quebec, and that's the tribe of the Iroquois that raised this child. My. Okay, so. While exiled in Washita, they Dudamundi, the Marquis married into the imperial family of the Washita. Being a knight in the order of the religion of St. John, his marriage could never be accepted by the Roman Catholic Church. I'm just going to say, you know, that makes them black French, see? French black, that's Haiti all over again. That is Haiti all over again. And the people in the Dominican Republic on that Espanola country, Espanada, I think it's called. Did you put it on, honey? Yeah. That country, the part that's called the Dominican Republic, which is 3/4 of that island now, they are much lighter skinned. And that means they were, and they are overlighted by the United States. And they're the ones that are deporting all the black French. You remember that was all black French when Haiti became the first republic of the entire Western Hemisphere. They are annihilating that legacy of those people. And that's why this is going on. That's why they on purpose caused that earthquake. Let's get rid of more of them. They got rid of 800,000 people. Yes, they did. I'm not telling the whole story there. Henry Turner was the child of the Marquis de Maison Rouge. This is the black French. And the Empress Aya Maria. That's spelled A-Y-A-H. M-A-R-E-E-Y-A-H, just in case you were wondering. After the Marquis's death, Henry Turner recovered all the titles to his father's land. Empress Delphi Keem Washington Washita from 1849 to 1966 reigned during the turbulent years of Empress Delphi Keem Washington Washita. Reigned during the turbulent years of legal land reclamation. Many accounts confuse us as descendants of the Mongolians and the Siberians who invaded from across the Bering Strait. That's not what happened. That's also a myth. That's got to be corrected. They came from the other way. They came from the east part, the Mongolian, northern China. So that brought some gold black into the coloring, as well as southern Siberia over there. They came all the way across Asia and Siberia, and they came and they invaded Greece, and Greece was all black. And they changed and whitewashed all the statues in Greece so that people would forget that history too. And then they went from Greece, and they were Moors. They were Mongolian Moors. They were sailors. They were masters of the sea, and they took their ships from Greece, just like the real Christopher Columbus, Prince Nicholas Ypsilantis, was a black Greek Moor, Saint Germain, and they navigated across the Atlantic, and they came here from that way, and they didn't invade. And that's just a few more corrections. But anyway, nonetheless, yet our oral traditions tell us we have been in Washita de Daga Mundia for at least 25,000 years, meaning the United States of America when it wasn't quite called that yet. And we fought long and bitter wars. This is why Lewis and Clark came against these French black. They had been here for 100,000 years. My goodness. We fought long and bitter wars against those killing machines from the east. Yeah, like guns. When the white man arrived, the wars were already 2,000 years old. Oh, my goodness. So there was previous invading forces, those guys. Yeah, the Mongols did those kinds of things. And Europe, so the European white man, the Mongolian and Siberian, later called as the red man, that's right, they had red in their skin, joined forces to attempt to complete the destruction and obliteration of the black and brown Washita and Tunica people. So even the Native Americans were trying to take over the Washita black people, along with a little help from Mongolian and Siberian characters. The Great War goes on to this day. We black and brown and white and red people living right here on this land must wake up. That's true. The Martian people were black, red, black too. And there were the tall ones and there were the smaller ones. And, you know, the South American Martian people were called what? Viracocha. Viracocha was from Mars. Inca. The Incans were from Mars. They migrated up here too. I'm just saying, we got a lot to learn, folks. All right, we're almost done. I guess we'll just do 15 minutes, Rama, so any minute now. So we black and brown and white and red people living right here on this land must wake up to the lies that have encrusted us with totally fabricated misinformation as a foundation for all the assumptions that we as human beings instinctively make. The name of this land called the United States of America is Washita de Dagamundia. We, the black people of North America, are predominantly Washita, the ancient mound builders. The most famous mound site in the Washita proper is for some reason called Poverty Point, a name I am quite sure the ancients did not put on it. The mound is shaped like a bird with extended wings. Standing over 75 feet high, it is the second largest earthen mound in North America, Washita de Dagamundia. The Empress took me on a guided tour of Poverty Point, and it was a deeply moving experience. And since that day, she and I have become very good friends. We have spent hundreds of hours talking about the Washita Empire and its political, spiritual, and cultural aspects. As you are in the presence of the Empress Verdi Chi, you can feel that vast and ancient flow of eternal energy. Okay, so that's that. And there's an email if you want to know more information. We might write there and see if there's more that we can get sent, Rama. It's Ashid at Goarchi.com. I'll spell that. A-A-S-H-I-D as in David at G-O-A-R-C as in Charles H-I-E.com. Okay, this is America Before Indians, Rediscovering America. Okay, very powerful. Okay, Rama, let's start. We'll do just one. There's five. We'll continue these things as we go, but let's get a dose of Nassim before we go. Okay, everybody.
It became clear to me eventually that the sun gods must have been sun gods for a reason. They were called sun gods in all these civilizations, just the same. Well, if the universe is different scales black holes, then in order for these sun gods to travel through space from one side of the galaxy to the other, they would have to enter the wormhole, the singularity, at the center of those black holes. So they would use stars as gateways to go from one side of the galaxy to the other. And then you would expect them to be called sun gods. That is why, for instance, the ancient tradition in most of these countries talks about the sun as the doorway to the higher realm where the sun gods come from. They talk about the black hole at the center of our galaxy as the hub, the central sun, from which you can access all of the stars in the galaxy. So you would enter the sun and then through to the galactic center, out one of the arms of the galaxy, out one of the sun, in the other, in another arm of the galaxy. This is the sun as it looks normally. On the sun appears sunspots. These are sunspots. Actually, there are sunspots seen at the X-ray range level. So they appear very bright. Actually, sunspots in the optical spectrum are very dark. They're like black. Well, they appear when the sun becomes very active at 19.47 latitude north and south. Okay? And when you look at the sunspot carefully, and I picked this one because it's, I believe that sunspots are at the heart of the matter. When you look at it carefully, you can see that the fire is being sucked in. That's what made me think, actually, from my calculation and from my theory and all this, that the sunspots on the sun are not surface events, but they're huge vortices going to the middle of the sun. The other reason, can you see the fire being sucked in here? I got in a lot of trouble for saying that. Because they said, no, it's just surface event. And I said, well, if it's just surface event, how come if you look at the sunspots on the sun, they always occur in opposite polar. See, this one here got an opposite one there. These three there have an opposite three there. You see? All the sunspot occurs in opposition to each other, because when you have a vortex going one way in the Coriolis effect, you have another one going the other way on the other side. And they generate a link at the middle, a link at singularity. Sunspots are huge vortices going towards singularity at the center of the black hole. And that's why when you look at sunspots very carefully, you see fire being sucked in. The sunspots are actually break through the event horizon of the black hole of the sun, where you can actually see the collapsing black hole pulling the electromagnetic field in. Well, when I was saying this, I was being ridiculed. Recently, this is what they found.
Often plasma hurricanes were one of the surprises revealed when scientists recently peered beneath the stormy surface of our star. November 7, 2001. Using techniques similar to medical ultrasound, scientists appeared inside the sun and discovered what lies beneath sunspots, planet-sized star carriers on the surface of our star. Astronomers have long known that sunspots are regions where magnetic fields become concentrated. Yet anyone who played with magnets as a child has felt how magnetic fields of light polarities repel each other. Likewise, the strong magnetic fields of sunspots should naturally repel each other too, causing the sunspot to quickly dissipate. Indeed, observations show that surface material clearly flows out of the spot. What then makes sunspots so long-lasting? How do they remain intact for weeks and months? A team of scientists had to look beneath the surface of the sun to find the answer. Alexander Kosovichev and Junwei Zhao of Stanford University, along with Thomas Duval of NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center, used MIDI's unique ability to probe the happening just below a sunspot surface, and for the first time, they have clearly observed inward-flowing material. We discovered that the outflowing material is just a surface feature, says Zhao. If you can look a bit deeper, you find material rushing in like planet-sized whirlpools or hurricanes. This inflow pulls the magnetic fields together. The cool downward flows dissipate at the same depth where the hot upward flows diverge, explained Dugan. With these data, one cannot get a sharp enough picture to really explain the details. Until now, we've looked down at the top of sunspots like we might look down at the leaves and tree tops. For the first time, we're able to observe the branches and trunk of the tree that give it structure. The roots of the tree, however, remain a mystery.
That's for you guys. Now, so they started to see now that the sunspot, which some of them are like 14 times the size of the Earth, okay, are huge vortices going towards the middle. And when they talk about material being spit out of the sunspot, do you guys know what material that is? Water. Large amount of water comes out of sunspots on the sun, right beside the fire.
Is that their conclusion?
No, that's measurements. Pardon me?
Is that their conclusion?
That's their measurements of the material that's coming out, mostly water. Well, steam, you know, H2O. It's spectroscopy. But then, you know, so then I was thinking about that. I'm like, huh. Okay, well, you know, if you were to travel through the universe, and everything in the universe is a singularity, then you could, you know, build a ship that's able to go inside a singularity. That ship would have to have a drive at its center that's a singularity itself. Okay? And you could enter a local singularity, and because you're in singularity, connected to all things, you could come out anywhere you want, anywhere else in the universe. And you could actually follow a linear progression of that travel. Although it would only take seconds for you to go across the galaxy, you would still go through the singularity of the sun, through the singularity of the hub, and then out to another singularity that would be a solar system in some other corners of the galaxy. You could even go from the hub to another galaxy hub and then come out wherever you want there. You guys are following this?
No.
Okay. Now, if you think of it this way, then it's like, okay, well, we should be able to see these guys coming in and out. So I started to investigate this, and I found something very bizarre. I found that most of the telescopes and probes that observe the sun are owned by no one else but the Vatican. The Vatican. And I was thinking, well, that is strange. What does the Vatican want with the sun? And I noticed you know, so I started to, you know, kind of keep track of what was going on the sun. And I kept on downloading, you know, material from NASA, from the SOHO probe, which is a probe that's orbiting the sun. And one day, this video was put on the net. This was a while ago, almost 5 years ago now. There's been many others since then. This is a good one. Let's take a look at it. They placed this on the sun. Now, this is the probe telemetry. This is the camera. And it has a little arm that has a protective lens because otherwise the electronics would get overwhelmed. And this is the sun surface here. This is a representation of the sun surface. And this is the video. So this video was placed on the net saying comets, sun-gazing comet hits the sun. And, you know, a bunch of people downloaded this stuff. And, you know, emailed NASA and said, what are these objects? Because comets usually have extremely long tails when they approach an object like the sun. Do you know how big these objects are? At least the size of the Earth. Okay? A comet the size of the Earth orbiting the sun or approaching the sun should have a very large tail, very visible tail. So, you know, after a whole bunch of astrophysicists emailed NASA going, what are these objects you're calling comets? They retracted the video. And I was lucky to get a copy because after, you know, a whole bunch of people complained when they retracted the video, they put the video back home. But all of a sudden, the objects had tails. However, let's go back and analyze this video a little bit. You can see the stars in the background all going from left to right. Okay, that's because the probe is orbiting. Right? And then you can see all these little white dots. Those are particles hitting the camera.
Okay. So that's just part one. We'll have four more parts, so we might have time next time to do a couple more. And we'll just keep on going. That was very interesting. We got to hear about what that stuff really was, if it wasn't what they were trying to tell everybody it was. And that's a very interesting story. So just when it's time to be, oh, it's almost time. I just was going to say, come and see Mother tomorrow. And come and join us. It's really, you know, it's the best and the worst of times. And just to reiterate, by September, again, the astrology is saying, you know, it's a 2.5 year thing where Saturn goes into Sag. And it's 2.5 years in September. So that's September 2016, September 2017. Around February of 2018, we'll be complete with that Saturnian energy in Sag is quite an amazing thing. Sagittarians love knowledge. They are, and they are symbolized by the centaur. We have got you know, five of these centaur bodies that are with us for the same period of time. You know, they're going to be with there and even maybe out into a little bit farther than that. And they're not going anywhere. And they're part of what the configuration that we got brought to the solstice with, too, because there is 11 bodies, heavenly bodies, and Neptune's one of them, and I can't remember some, Uranus is one, but Pluto's another one, but the rest of them, I mean, five of them, all five of them of these centaur bodies are in there too. And there's 11 of them. And what they are going to help do is they're going to help to take things all retrograde when there's other things that are really potent going direct, which are going to try to go for the naughty stuff. In other words, they'll be a really good balance for that because they will subtle, they'll bring the subtleties and they'll pull us back to have to take a look at, wait, where did we come from? And, you know, we must not forget our history in order to get it right. What do you think you're doing here, folks? And what are doing here versus we already have enough experience to know that they're not doing what the people want and they aren't going to ever do that. And they're using money, unbelievable amounts of money to get people to agree to go ahead and do their bidding. And that's not what time it is. So a very important thing is to just keep that unicorn consciousness with us. In other words, single-minded, single-minded. Let thine eye be single. That unicorn horn is up at the frontal lobe. It's right above the third eye, actually. And it's a 18-inch long one. That's a foot and a half. That ought to keep you one pointed. And I've got this picture of this unicorn. And there's all these flowers. Fields and fields of flowers. And they're just munching on the flowers and the whatever. There's red ones and gold ones and purple ones and, oh, my God, they're just, oh, my God. Anyway, so, and then there's this beautiful white unicorn just having a picnic. And it says here, the unicorn has come out of the forest to gaze the lush grass in the heat, the lush grass in the heat of the sun, all unaware of passions arousing, oblivious to danger, in fear of no one. That's what the poem says. And where's that light? Was ist das, the light. The little one. It went away. Okay, this is by Francis Lucien. And the name of it is Allegories. And then one more page. The unicorn's in a field of poppies this time. Endless poppies. Oh, my God. He must be feeling pretty good. The flashing cascade of his mane, the curving comet of his tail, invested him with housings more resplendent than gold and silver bearers could have furnished him. And that's by Herman Melville. So, it's time to go. Auf Wiedersehen, saying goodbye. I fleet, I float, I fleet, I float, I fly. We'll see you tomorrow. Remember to stay in the joy. Don't worry, be happy. And we'll see you all tomorrow. And for now, let's call on the music maestro. Namaste, everybody. Aloha. Thank you.